and welcome everybody to yet another episode of Industry Relations with Rob Hahn and Greg Robertson. Greg, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right. You know, it's funny, like their first hello is always this like breathy, you know, yes, I am. It's very sexy. It kind of does something for him. But, we actually have a really special episode today because it's not just me and Greg yapping today. We actually have distinguished and honorable guests on the program with us. We have David Sharon, who's the CEO of MRIS, now Bright MLS. Although we could talk a little bit about that. David, are you on the line?
I am. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi, David. So, Dave, what is your actual title? Like, what should I be calling you?
Well, Lord Sharon.
Lord Vader?
I am the Chief Strategy Officer for Bright MLS. I am still president of MRIS Investors, which has a couple of trailing assets that are not part of the merger.
Wonderful. Okay. But I'm down with Lord Sharon. And we also have Andrea Bushnell on the line with us, who is the CEO of the North Carolina Associated Realtors. Andrea, are you there?
I am. Thank you. Hello.
All right. Wonderful. Thanks for joining us. And then finally, we have Sunny Lake, who is one of the founders, one of the driving force behind our topic of our podcast, which is called NAR Girl Boss. Sunny, are you there?
I'm here.
Wonderful. All right. Looks like we're all gathered. And I thought we would just have an interesting, wide-ranging, and yet 30-minute conversation about the campaign, about what's going on, about the industry. So with that, I think, Greg, you had the first question. You have the privilege of bringing it to the audience.
Thanks, Rob. So I think, you know, I'm a little familiar with this whole NAR Girl Boss initiative from talking to you, Rob. But for our listeners, maybe Sunny, you can answer this. Can you give us kind of an overview of what's this all about and what you're trying to accomplish?
NAR Girl Boss originally started because I was hearing way too much back channel talk about the next CEO of NAR already basically being appointed. They had already tapped someone, and this whole selection committee and the whole process really didn't seem like there was any need for it other than a dog and pony show. And so that, because there was so much conversation going on with so many different people, I was thinking this is actually a really important topic that we should be talking about, and people should be talking about it openly. And also to let NAR know that people are looking at this. People are watching the leadership really closely because it matters. It really matters who the next CEO of the most powerful trade organization in the country, probably the world, but the largest and most powerful trade organization in the country. It's visible, and who they appoint or who they hire actually for this position of CEO matters. And people are really concerned. And so I wanted to give a voice to the people that are concerned about it and that want to make sure that there is transparency in the process. And also highlight female leaders in the industry, because we've got 62% of realtors are women, and we've never had a woman as the leader of this of NAR. I mean, over 100 years, we've never had a woman. It's like, maybe we need I absolutely think we need a culture change, but we need to highlight female leaders in the industry as well. Even if they don't want this position for the CEO of NAR, there are a lot of women doing a lot of really big things. And so I really wanted to shine the light on those women as well. And not just have me profile them, but have other people that work closely with them profile them and kind of shine the light to say, hey, look at all of these people doing these really cool things. Even if they don't want this CEO position, there are probably a lot of other roles that they could fill in the industry to really just make us all better.
So to me, though, I'll call a little bullshit on that. I mean, I'm not sure if I've read anywhere that has stated that some guy or somebody's already been appointed. I've read that they've got a search committee going. I think, and everybody, as far as transparency, I mean, this has been a hot topic for, you know, the past 3 months. You know, I think Inman has done several articles on it. NAR has even commented.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of people have been talking about it.
Hold on. If you have any comments, you can reach them at this email address, and they're looking for comments and suggestions. They've made clear who the actual people on the committee are. So that's kind of a full transparency there. And NAR has had some strong women there. I think, was it Lori Janik was the previous attorney? She was fantastic, right? So there has been, you know, females in leadership roles at NAR for a long time now.
But never at the helm.
Right. But I mean, as far as transparency and leadership positions and the things you're talking about, I think there's been a lot of that.
I think, yeah, I mean, and the current attorney there for NAR is awesome and it's a woman. So, but I think that we need to have someone that is really representative of the constituency. So that's one thing, but also it's just, and maybe the selection committee, there's just a lot of talk. Real estate, you know how it goes. There's always a lot of talk in a lot of small conversations, but everyone's having the same conversation, just no one wants to have it out loud. And so people are talking about it, everyone's saying, yeah, the selection committee was put together basically just for show.
Well, and on the transparency issue, David, you wrote something in the Facebook group for NAR Girl Boss, kind of detailing your experience with it. And I thought maybe this could be a good time for the audience to kind of get a sense of what you had written, what you had experienced.
Well, yeah, I thought that the interview that I had from Bill Gibson from Heidrick Struggles was really refreshing, and that someone would call to ask me what I thought. And I got the strong sense that he was being very open and transparent about this. His questions of me were not as a potential candidate. It was just, you know, what should be in the what should we include in the position description of the new assignment? And I think that there wasn't any, first of all, to anybody's suspicion that there might be a fix in. I absolutely don't get that. I believe this is wide open. But until that position description comes out, I believe that, you know, us throwing up names and bandying names about is really good. It's fun. It talks about all the potential that NAR could be and all the new and wonderful things that they could be doing. But until that PD comes out, which I think we'll all get a chance to see, it really is just it's kind of sport. Secondly, and maybe as importantly, I don't expect that we're going to get much insight into the actual selection and decision process. I think that's always been a pretty closed initiative. And so the purpose, I think, of Sunny's initiative, which is really should be applauded, is to just have that pressure on the organization to consider the important things. And for the purpose of this discussion, it's about making sure that good, capable, competent women are considered for this most important assignment. And thus far, I believe that that's what's going to happen. I absolutely believe it.
And I'm sorry, is it Andrea or Andrea?
Andrea. Thank you.
So what's your feeling here? I mean, what's your experience? I mean, being in a leadership position yourself with organizations and such and anything here?
Sure. Well, I think that there's a couple of things that I think. I really look at what NAR is doing and trying to do. And I think that they're as transparent, if you will, in this process as they've ever been in selection of a CEO. In years past, when Dale was chosen and Terry McDermott before him, I don't remember them ever going out and actually asking anybody their opinion about, you know, what characteristics and experience that they'd like to see in the new CEO. And so I think that, if nothing else, that they are certainly trying to involve the membership in kind of identifying what it is that the association should be looking for. And I think that the members who sit on the actual search committee, I think they're very serious folks who are taking their job seriously. I don't think that any of them would have been willing to serve if they thought that they didn't have a job to do. They're busy people. But now, with that said, as a background, I think that what Sunny is hearing and what we often hear in associations is, you know, this lack of transparency and what's going on and what's typically for me, that's a code word for we don't like what we see. We don't like what we're hearing. We don't like what's happening. And so to the extent that there is a movement out there, I think it's as much of the ones who talk about lack of transparency, the ones who talk about perhaps this not being a fair and open process, it's because there is always this sense, there is a little bit of a sense of distrust of the organization generally, not about this process necessarily, but about the organization on a more global scale. And so I think that that leads to this grassroots movement, which, you know what, I will say NAR taught us how to do grassroots. And so, you know, when we go about doing what they have taught us to do, which is to create this grassroots, not uprising really, but this grassroots effort to be heard, I think that it's an important important effort that NAR really needs to be listening to and not taking it lightly, because none of us are involved in grassroots because we don't believe in a cause. And so I do think that there is something here that they need to pay attention to.
Okay, so I mean, maybe it's a question for all of you guys, David, Andrea, Sunny, all of you. Maybe keying off of what Sunny mentioned, Sunny, you said something about culture change. Could you be a little bit more specific about what you mean by that? And then I would kind of wanted to ask David and Andrea what they thought. I mean, do you feel like there is a need for a change in culture within NAR, within the real estate industry, within, you know, whatnot?
Well, I definitely think there needs to be a culture change. I've been at a brokerage. I've been leadership in a brokerage for several years. And just knowing that is still really, and I mean, and I'm a youngish woman. I mean, I'm not super young, but I'm not old either. I'm a youngish woman. And I was the youngest managing broker of the firm that I was at. Right. And I was one of the only women, and it was still a good old boys club. I got a lot of head pats, and you just sit there in the corner and don't worry about saying anything. You don't have to. And so, but I think that also comes from the top. When you look at leadership of an organization, it comes from the top. So those brokerages and the brands are looking at the leadership at the top, which is NAR, and how that trickles down. So whether or not people want to really acknowledge that it exists, it does exist. And if you haven't had that experience in a room, if you haven't been, and Rob, you've probably had the experience too, because you're not an old white guy, but, and no offense to old white guys, but if you're not an old white guy, you look at the panels that are up on the stage a lot of times, and most of them are older white gentlemen. If you sit in most of the boardrooms of brokerages, it's a lot of older white gentlemen. So there does need to be a culture change, because the conversations that happen and the work that is being done doesn't necessarily resonate with people that are doing the job. Realtors are a really diverse group, and I actually love that the selection committee is a really diverse group as well. That thrilled me when I saw the people that are on the selection committee, and knowing several of them personally, it was nice to know that is something that they are looking at diversity. They want someone who is able to really speak to everybody. And so I think there does need to be a culture change from the top, because it does trickle down. It's like tipping one domino. If you change that top leadership, yeah, I really do believe that it's going to change other leadership at all other levels, brokerage, brand, MLS, association. I think it's going to help make a change.
And Rob, this is Andrea. Let me just weigh in a little bit on this too. You know, this is one of those things when you talk about a culture change, you know, it's what you mean by a culture change, really. I think, you know, I look at it from the perspective of I'm the first female CEO of the North Carolina Association of Realtors. There had only been male people sitting in my role before. And they did excellent, wonderful work. But what I did bring here was a little bit different perspective. I can tell you from my own experience, I think that most of my members would tell you that it's far more about personal touch and communication. It's more about outreach to the members. And so I think if you talk to my staff, I think if you talk to most of my members, they will tell you that there has definitely been a culture change here. And it's not that anybody wasn't doing a great job before, because they absolutely were. It's just a different approach. And so I think that everybody can bring a little bit different talent to the role. And mm-hmm. So there might be lots of other people, whether they're, you know, I don't care what what you're talking about. Everybody's going to bring something new to the table. And I think, you know, that's, it's always going to be good. You know, just the fact that there is going to be a change is good.
Well, so one of the things I find the most interesting, though, is, I mean, David, you're an old white guy. You know that,
and I love you, David.
That's right. No offense, but you're an old white gentleman. You know, obviously you're a leader, and you've been in leadership for many years. But even you, when I read kind of what you wrote on that Facebook group, it almost felt like you were also hinting towards some need for change and some need for a new something new.
Yeah, you know,
what
Rob,
did you mean by that?
Well. I'm going to take some exception to the old white guy thing. I can't help it that I'm white, and I can't help it that I'm old. But I do think that if you are either or both of those things, and you have a lot of ideas that are entrenched in the past, then I think, you know, you absolutely are right, and I need to be shown the door. And so hopefully, you know, guys like me and gals like me are able to continue to think of new and innovative reasons why we should continue to be part of the conversation. Let me speak about the culture issue. I have always been amazed that NAR can move so much forward on a couple of people, on one person's idea that in turn gets another couple of people behind it, and then it gets discussed and funded, and then it moves a million people. Right. And I think when we talk about culture, and the thing that Sonny is really speaking to is the need for greater openness and transparency and collaboration in this particular instance. Because if NAR does move in the way it has in many other areas, if it moves toward this selection process in the way it has in the past, then Sunny is absolutely right, and her concerns are well founded. That said, I believe that in this particular instance, that NAR is trying to make a pivot, if you will, to create cast a much wider net to the people that they're looking at and searching for. There could be some great people, and there are some great people that are on all of our radar, and it would be excellent. And it isn't their fault that some of them have been with NAR for a number of years, just as it is that some people that are outside that sphere of influence right now could be pulled in based on whatever the new position description is. But I think it goes to the culture issue. What's happened in the past, is it also going to be the same for this selection process? My reading of the tea leaves thus far indicate that it's not. And so I'm very, very hopeful and positive about it.
So if from your standpoint, Dave, you don't mean culture change just in terms of like, you know, male, female leadership, gender, you know, whatever issues. It's more like sort of a transparency versus at least a perceived lack of transparency, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to speak for the people who may feel somewhat disaffected by this or disincentivized to support NAR. And I think that that's one of the ways to get them back into the tent is to be more open and collaborative. And so I look, the things that got us this far in this industry, all of us, each of us individually and all of us collectively, when we speak about NAR, some of those things aren't going to work anymore. And so I think that transparency, that ability to listen, that ability to collaborate, to debate and arrive at a good decision, I think it's got to be taken outside of just a few individuals to make those determinations and then present us with accomplished facts. That doesn't work anymore, from my opinion.
Hmm. Andrew, you're obviously in a leadership position. You know, you're not NAR CEO, but you're State Association CEO. You're also one of the people that David mentioned by name in his post.
Sorry, Andrea. I didn't talk to her about it either. I didn't talk to her about it.
So unsolicited, you know, naming is always better. But I guess I was just curious about your take on this sort of culture transparency. Like, have you had to do that in your organization? How does an executive do that?
Oh, absolutely. There is no doubt about it. When I came in, there was a different culture here than there is today. There was great work being done. Don't get me wrong. But I think many, many people felt disenfranchised from the organization. They felt left out. They didn't feel like their voice mattered. And so from my perspective, I spent the first Oh my goodness, probably almost the first year, just building relationships and building bridges and bringing people back in who may have been disenfranchised for who knows what reason. I mean, may have been completely and totally unintentional, but people do end up feeling disenfranchised or don't feel like that their voice matters. And so it took at least a year just of, you know, one-on-one, one person at a time, you know, building those relationships again and making sure that people felt valued in this organization. And it's not even that they weren't being valued before, it's a perception that they weren't feeling valued. And listening, lots and lots of listening. You know, I think that there's something to be said for, you've done great work. We love the work you've done, but you haven't asked us lately if there's something else we might want in addition to this great work that you've done. And so it's a lot about just doing a listening tour in order to actually effect a culture change.
So I want to go back to the whole issue of, I feel like we've kind of hijacked Sonny's original topic of conversation and the thing that motivated you and Greg to get this thing going. And that's one of getting a good and capable female in the first chair. And we've kind of replaced that with culture. But what I might suggest to build on Andrea's statement is that it really does start with culture, a culture of openness, a culture of transparency that in turn will lead us all to believe that they will in fact get the best person. It may indeed be a female, which would be great, would absolutely be. But I think there's something that goes beyond just getting a female in this position. And that goes to other things that really finds its genesis in culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do think that culture is a big part of it. And it can be a man that is affecting this culture change, just from my experience and from what I'm hearing, and just from the knowledge of powerful women in our industry that are doing fantastic work and not necessarily being acknowledged for it. I wanted to make sure that we're shining a light on them as well and just saying, hey, look at these people that are doing these things and they're changing cultures within their organizations. And maybe we can, you know, take a look at what they're doing and try to affect that same change at NAR.
Well, you know, Sonny, you have in 1 week managed to figure out a way to get 800 to 1,000 people involved in this NAR girl boss thing. And if I'm not mistaken, three or four of the people that are a part of this forum, if you will, are people that are in ascending chairs for NAR leadership positions. I mean, the first chair in terms of the president of the association in several of the, you know, near-term years. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, we do have a lot of people that are in different leadership positions, as well as people throughout the NAR organization. And we also have people that are on the selection committee in that group as well.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go. That's big. Way to go.
Yeah, they're not chiming in, but they are definitely listening. I've had conversations with several of them, and while they're not saying anything, they are definitely listening and they're taking it seriously.
So, Greg, I mean, I guess I have to make a bit of disclosure. Maybe I should have done it at the beginning, but, you know, I mean, obviously, you know that I'm helping, you know, helping Sonny, helping, you know, this whole effort out. But I tell you, man, I mean, from my standpoint, and I think people know me, you know, understand that I'm nobody's idea of a feminist, but I do, I'm not, but I do. One of the things I just really like about what Sonny's doing is that if this were just a, you know, NAR CEO, must be a woman and some symbolic, you know, bullshit effort, then I don't know that it's, you know, it's really worth my time. What I do like about it, though, is the notion of shining a light on some of the up-and-coming leaders. Because fact of the matter is, I feel like the committee, you know, I tend to agree with David, they're probably doing a really good, fair, transparent job. You know, Heidrick & Struggles, you know, the headhunters, you know, the search firm, they're the best in the world at this sort of thing. They're not going to just, you know, come in and lend their name to some effort that they think is just a smokescreen, right? So I think this is really happening. What I feel, though, is I feel like they kind of know, you know, who the possible candidates are, male or female, because there really aren't that many individuals on the planet, you know, that can afford, that could really take on this job, you know, that could really be CEO of an organization like NAR. But the thing that I really like most about what Sonny's doing is trying to shine a light on the second tier, right? Not the C-level people that we already know about, right? The Andreas and the Sherry Chris's and Pam O'Connor's of the world, but it's the second tier, that maybe the industry doesn't know quite as well, you know, about what, you know, who they are and what they've accomplished. And I do think there's some real value there. And for that, that, you know, I'm willing to help out. That I'm willing to, you know, sort of really put some effort behind it. And I think from a culture change standpoint, what a wonderful thing that would be. And at some point, if Sunny's successful with doing this for sort of rising young women leaders, you know, hell yeah, I might do it for rising male leaders, right? Because it's not like young guys don't need the exposure too if they're doing something awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, this is Andrea, just real quickly. I think that there is still a sense that in many cases, women still have to prove themselves in a way that some men don't. That's a very global statement. And so please understand that I'm being very generic in that. But, you know, there's still a whole bunch of young women who are really making a mark and are working really hard, but aren't getting the recognition that they deserve. And for that, Sunny, I can't thank you enough for shining a light on that group of women, because there's amazing talent out there that
really
isn't being recognized.
Andrea, you know, as it relates to the young women who are trying like heck to make a mark, but they're not getting the attention, none of us, yourself included, went into your job thinking that you were going to get recognized on a national level the way you have been. What are you? You're the Magle Award winner last year. I'm sure 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, you never even thought about that. When you look at some of the talent in this industry, whether it's the people that are absolutely recognized, like Pam O'Connor or Sherry Criss, or you get people like Joan Doctor or Cindy Ariosa or people like that that are just capable women that have busted through the glass ceiling in their respective organizations.
Yep.
Now you've got a whole nother generation. And how is this next generation going to learn from these trailblazers, quite frankly? And I think there's just enormous potential now that there wasn't even 3 or 4 years ago, thanks in no small measure to the Katie Johnsons and the other names that I've mentioned before, and the Andrea Bushnells, and the, you know, all the people that have really done a great job making this such a hugely powerful voice in this industry. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Greg, did you want to listen to your response now?
No, that's great. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's, as David said and others, I think it's actually fine to highlight the others, you know, put a spotlight on others. I mean, I try to do that with my own blog as well, talk about industry, you know, people in the industry. But I mean, I think this is going to be as transparent as anything as political as this can be. So we'll just have to see what happens. And as David said, when the position statement comes out, or the, you know, the position description comes out, and we'll see what goes from there.
Well, you know, I hope it won't be as transparent as we've seen in the past. You know, as David mentioned, you know, it's, and I'm on record as saying, look, I mean, we have this culture of secrecy and culture of politeness in the industry, which is why you and I are like the only two people get away with saying everything that's on our mind. It's why we're doing this type of podcast. So I'm hoping it will be far more transparent, or far more inclusive than things were in the past. And it does sound like, you know, based on what David said, based on what Andrea said, based on what we're hearing, that it sounds like this time it's different. That this time it's not going to be just presented, you know, to the industry, to the people, as a fait accompli saying, hey, you know, we listen to everybody and here it is. Like, it feels like it would be a much more, you know, much more positive, much more participatory, much more open process. And I think that could be amazing, because yeah, God knows if NAR does this, we know that the other major associations, the other major organizations will do the exact same thing.
And you know, I don't think that this group or the other 800 or 900 people that Sunny has amassed should let up. I mean, keep those cards and letters coming and keep the pressure on, constructive pressure, because as Sunny said, they're listening. They absolutely are listening. And I applaud Sunny for sticking her neck out on this thing and raising an issue that needed to be addressed. And I thank you guys for giving her a forum to get this to an even broader audience. Nicely done, guys.
And thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of it, David.
We're actually at our time limit, and I know we've had a little bit of technical difficulties as these things are, but it's amazing that we're even able to do this in five different areas across three time zones. Greg, do you want to wrap up?
Sure. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And take a look at iTunes, where this will be uploaded pretty soon here. And you can get more industry relations from Rob Hahn and Greg Robertson. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, David. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Sunny, for joining us for Industry Relations.